Ahoy, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with scenes after the credits, and fans of all the bits that don't make it through the edits. I'm Adrian, as always here with Paul. Let's get Big Factin'. Let's get No Cappin'.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No Cap.
Paul, you're live on the radio. Please don't curse.
What's going on, my man?
I don't think I've talked about this. I think we kind of have a superstition around this in Sacramento. It's a big thing on the subreddit that anyone who mentions the fact that the weather has been nice immediately gets like, you know, like, get him out of here, banish him, he's cursing us. But we have finally gotten back to 90 degrees. We had an incredible streak. I know you guys have a heat streak.
You're thinking of the Carolinas. We don't have
heat
the
heat. Heat is southeast.
Yeah, we don't have the dome here. Yeah. It's been hot, but it hasn't been unbearable here. I don't know if this is a trend. I was about to say, have you seen this trend? I don't think it's fair to call it that, but I have seen one TikTok.
Oh, you're doing that kind of reporting? You're doing that kind of newspaper reporting? Here's a new trend. We have one tweet to link as evidence.
No, clearly what I was saying was that I was about to make that mistake and caught myself.
Okay, you're about to do some bad behavior, but you caught yourself.
It seems like, at least from the one couple I saw, the one privileged couple moving to the Midwest as part of like a climate resiliency sort of thing, where it's like, this is actually going to be the best part of the country when global warming hits, because it's on the Great Lakes.
And away from the coasts.
The temperature is going to become more like temperate.
That's why I moved to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. That way, once all the sea levels rise, I'll be beachfront property. Shout out Scott Aukerman. He's not canceled. I can't steal his bit.
But yeah, they just seemed obnoxious, so people were roasting them, because part of it was also, even though we might miss the East Coast sometimes, it's not going to be that far of a flight for us to go out there and see people. They're like, what you're worried about is climate change. And you're just like,
that's crazy.
We're going to be out on the East Coast all the time. We're flying back and forth. Don't worry about it.
We're flying back every 3 months. Yeah. Shout out to back when Renegade Cut used to actually make videos instead of whatever weird bullshit he's doing now. He made a video about, like, all right, you're worried about climate change. Where in the U.S. should you move? And at the end, his conclusion was Portland. And he was just like, all right, see you guys in Portland in a few years.
Oh, interesting. You see, I've always heard the Midwest, not the Pacific Northwest, but...
Interesting.
I guess different reads on the situation.
Hey, you know, it's a subjective argument at the end of the day.
Portland seems more of like I want to be part of a egalitarian commune play, instead of like the weather is going to be optimal there play.
Being able to drink on the street, that's my number one rule for a city.
Why is it illegal in America? What's wrong with being in the back? Is it like a distracting the driver?
We have too many guns. Oh, you mean like being able to do it in the back of a car?
Yeah.
Oh, that's because Americans don't like to have fun.
I forgot about that. The law that says no confetti in the back of a car, no Nerf guns, none of those pictures where you have to go cross-eyed to see what it is. None of that.
Do you think if things were as lawless as they were when, like, you know how, like, people will bring up, like, if you look through the state code of South Carolina, there's a bunch of, like, archaic and stupid laws that got through. Do you think if that happened in today's day and age, they'd be like, 300 years from now, they'd be like, we need to get this law off the book about how you have to pass the aux to the person with the nicest taste. There's no way that we should be able to enforce that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we should get the law off this book that says that you're not allowed to drink in the backseat of a car. We've all been doing that for generations at this point. We didn't even realize
didn't know
it was
that
a
back
law.
Then. But yeah, I'm thinking about what kind of stupid, inane laws we would think of now if we had that kind of lawlessness and, like, I guess, locality to decision making about your laws.
The one
you're not allowed to vape while walking backwards in Nevada. Did you know that? That used to be a law.
That actually feels true. That's so specific. I want to believe you, even though you presented it as I'm lying.
Yeah. It's part of a state ordinance. 300 years from now, they're like, did you know that in Arkansas, you're not allowed to skibbity toilet on a Sunday? We got to get rid of that law. I mean, they don't enforce it, but like, we got to get rid of it. They could.
Yeah, what else has been going on this week?
I don't know. I don't have much. Do you have a media roundup?
Do I have a media roundup? No, there's a couple things I want to watch this week. I guess I'll bring them in next week.
Oh, okay. I had two things and maybe one other thing. Pale Dusk came out with a new single called Hugs. Pale Dusk stays true to form with a new single, upping their game of chaos just a bit, as they always seem to do. It's Japanese post-hardcore fusion. Give it an 8 out of 10. Did you watch any of Joe DeRosa's special?
No, not yet, but I was excited for it. I saw it was free on YouTube.
I thought it was good, not great. I was surprised at how many people hyped it up as, like, already the special of the year, when I was like, I mean, I'm rooting for Joe DeRosa. Don't get me wrong.
I think
wrong.
Everybody's
like,
rooting for Joe DeRosa. That's why other comedians are hyping it up, because it's like, I think people are out here like, Joe DeRosa has been an incredible comic for so long and never gotten his flowers.
Never gotten his roses.
Never gotten his roses.
He has that whole story. He has that whole, like, hour and a half long story that he told on the Pete Holmes show about what happened to him during the pandemic and how he almost quit comedy completely. So to come back with, like, a special like that, I think it was pretty good. The most I can say about it is that if you have a premise that I, like, really disagree with the actual idea, but you can make me laugh, that's a pretty good special.
Yeah.
So, I was down for it. Sometimes Joe DeRosa does kind of have that, like, cynical, nihilistic, centrist thing of, I just don't like anybody. No one's right about anything, and you can't trust anybody. All you can do is be angry about things on your own. That's how you make change happen.
Well, maybe he doesn't think that's how you make change happen. Maybe he is just a nihilist.
Maybe
that's not his goal.
I guess that is part of being a nihilist, yeah. And then on Sunday, I went out to the Dreamland to watch Johnny Corncob. So prior to his magnum opus, Son of the White Mare, 1973's Marcel Yankovic's joint, Johnny Corncob, weaves a simple folktale with the signature Yankovic visual surrealism. Hungary's first ever animated feature film is a delight for the senses, with a deep sense of national pride, taking inspiration from an epic poem by Hungary's national poet, perhaps more straightforward than the White Mare's tale of epic dragon slaying, the simple narrative about a young shepherd going on an adventure to ultimately liberate and live happily ever after with his lovely farm maiden. The familiar yet fantastical nature of the plot actually lends itself almost better to a first watch, where so much of the movie's interest is in the dynamic imagery. With a blink and you'll miss it pace, the Maelstrom-esque transitions as loose, flowy, and psychedelic imagery bleed, bend, and transform into each other is an absolute pleasure. Shout out to the one particular scene transition where Johnny's mustache turns into a small bird flying into the sky. Notably more musical than White Mare, the movie also boasts a score that had me tapping my feet and bopping my head, potentially to the chagrin of my neighbors in the micro theater. Although I'm child-free, I felt myself thinking, this is the kind of film I'd be happy to watch over and over again with my kid if they got obsessed with it in the way that kids do with shitty movies like Frozen. And I'd have the extra satisfaction of knowing I had a kid with pretty cool taste. 9 out of 10.
My media roundup is Highlights by Alex G. If you're an Alex G fan...
How fresh is that one?
A week old?
Oh, nice. I didn't know about it.
But yeah, it's great.
His last name is like a long Italian name, right?
Yeah.
Do we ever have like a... We've never seen him and the professional celebrity chef Alex Cornicelli in the same room? Has there any been conspiracies about that?
I don't know Alex Cornicelli. Let me Google.
Oh, you'll notice. You'll know her when you look her up. She's like a guest judge on like a bunch of things. I hope it's Alex. I can't remember if it's Alex or Alexa.
Yeah, I do recognize
maybe that's
this
part
person.
Of yeah. Have we ever seen them in the same room?
No. I definitely saw them in the same room, but Alex kept saying he had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, whoa. Ruh-roh.
She was like, I got to go take a call real quick.
And he was like, I got to go take a big old shit.
And then at one point, he walked in with lipstick on for some reason, and then she walked in with her hair askew at one point. It was a really odd night.
Suspicious.
Yeah.
At the very least. Interesting.
Yeah, they were both acting weird.
Both acting up. All right, cool. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it. After?
After credit scenes.
Oh, you didn't run the jewels it with me. You let after hang and then just did your... Oh, never mind.
Yeah, sorry. I was actually taken aback.
If I was LP and you clearly would be Killer Mike,
I would be LP. You'd be Killer Mike.
No, I'd be LP.
No, I produce beats. You don't produce beats. You just rap.
I think we all know I'd be LP. Because you're a big boy, you would be Killer Mike.
I'm LP.
Everybody knows I wear my Yankees so tilted I walk with a hunch.
And you know I always tell people that they should walk naked backwards through a field of dicks. That's my favorite insult.
But I'm always like, top of the morning to you, my fist to your face is fucking Folgers. So,
And you're the one who's always really, like, edgy atheist, like, a king is a lie. Your god is a fake. He's pretty, you're a fake queen that you'll fucking die. I can't remember what that crown verse is.
No, but what's up? After credit scenes.
After credit scenes. Yeah. I was just talking to Dora Lee. She went to go watch Fantastic Four, and I asked her about the after credit scene, and she was like, shit, I didn't know there was one.
What?
And, yeah, you would think you'd know for a superhero movie, although sometimes they aren't. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to start this off by saying what happens to me, which is for some reason I lack the foresight to do this when I go to watch a movie. I am always scrambling at the end of a movie when the credits start. Insert movie here after credit scene question mark. And then if it doesn't say anything, then I'm like, all right, cool. I'm good to go. Although I did see a post recently where it was a movie theater. I guess it might have been a micro cinema because there was only, well, no, it's still like playing major movies, but there were only like three or four of them. But it had a whiteboard that told you which ones had a mid post or extra post credit scene. Mm.
That's what happened with Sinners, is we stuck around for the after credit scene.
Yeah.
And then missed the
post. But you missed the other ones.
Credit scene.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first one that you remember seeing?
I think it must have been Iron Man 1, yeah. I think it teed up
really
other Marvel movies.
I think my first one, well, maybe we were young, pretty young when Iron Man came out, but I remember it being a little bit younger when Professor X comes out during an X-Men movie. Like that was like a big like cultural touchstone that I remember kids telling you, like, dude, you have to stay for the after credits scene. There's something crazy afterwards. And I guess he dies at some point and comes back, but I don't remember. I guess that's what they were announcing, is that he comes back, yeah.
That he's still alive. It's like he rolls up and it's like, oh. Or he walks up. That'd even be that was even the, more shocking.
Yeah. There's a, it goes, it fades to black after the credits, and then you just hear a little laugh, and he's like, guess who's back? You hear the wheelchair rolling.
And then it goes to Professor Xavier's daughter's wedding, and he surprises everyone. He's been doing physical therapy, and he walks her down the aisle.
yeah. No, what was the Iron Man after credits? Was that
I think that might have been the first Nick Fury one.
Okay, so that was Samuel L. Jackson with the eye patch coming out being like, hey, I'm building a squad.
I think it must have been, yeah.
Do you want to be our hot-headed leader?
And the thing about this podcast is every time after we stop recording, as soon as we do that, Nick Fury walks out and asks us to join a new squad he's putting together. And I'm always like, if we were recording, this would be incredible content.
He was like, do you want to join the Legion of Skanks? I'm building a team.
Gas Digital needs you.
Yeah.
I think they need a woke podcast. That's what they're looking for. We could be that for Gas Digital.
Yeah.
I don't really know the difference between Gas Digital and I think Legion of Skanks is a podcast on Gas. I don't know.
I don't actually know what Gas Digital is. I was just playing along.
I think Lewis owns it all. He runs it with an iron fist, much like Iron Man.
Iron Man. Way to connect it. What are your thoughts on it? How do you feel about the serious ones? How do you feel about the playful ones? How do you feel about, I think I just watched a couple. I watched one and got recommended my algorithm. One was someone discussing it. One was someone ranking it, but animated movies that just end with a dance party of all the characters during the credits.
Oh, what movies is that?
Despicable Me, Shrek, Zootopia. What other movies? There's like a whole bunch of that, like where at the end everyone just gets into a little dance party together.
Isn't that a Bollywood thing? Or is it just that Bollywood has a big dance at the end?
Ooh. I think theirs is not an after credits thing, but maybe it is. I remember Jai Ho being during the credits, for Slumdog Millionaire.
Everybody knows Slumdog Millionaire is not a Bollywood movie. Just to go ahead and I don't want our podcast to be attacked for the factual errors we propagate.
Yeah. It happens in Despicable Me 1, 2, the Shrek movies, all three Madagascars, Megamind, and most recently in Zootopia. This is a post from 9 years ago. Mm. The dance party ending, which is not something you're missing out on, but it does contribute to the vibes.
And this is something you mentioned on our call, but the blooper scene, which I guess is a during credits scene.
Oh, yeah, like Rush Hour.
Yeah. Rush Hour and a lot of comedies of the 2000s had that.
Mm-hmm.
I think
because these guys have so much chemistry, they can't get through this scene without laughing.
But it's so true. I found it delightful for Rush Hour. I don't skip it.
I liked it. Yeah. Oh, no. I watched the movie to get to the bloopers. You know what I mean?
Man, I should buy the DVD for Rush Hour to see if they have more bloopers.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes that's its own feature. Were you a big fan of the Avengers one where it was inconsequential to the plot, but like it was just them eating shawarma at a restaurant after the whole you know, big battle that they had, and they're all like, oh, I am exhausted.
I do not remember that. I think I saw some of the Avengers movies, but I can't really remember which one. I saw Endgame in theaters. The other ones, I don't remember which ones I saw.
I did too. I watched Thor in theaters. I remember watching that. I don't think there was a... Well, I don't remember what the after credits... there was an after credit scene for that one. It was introducing Loki? I don't know. Something like that, probably.
And you were like, Loki, that's crazy.
And I was like, sheesh. Favorite after credit scene? Favorite mid credit scene?
It would be interesting to have on a mega Marvel fan at this point, just because I want to ask them questions of, like, holistically how they feel about it now that it's, like, that generation is done.
I mean... Maybe more than anything else. That's like back to our spoilers episode from a long time ago. That's what people get really mad about is like, do people don't get mad about you telling them there's an after credit scene, but they definitely don't want to know what it is before they go in.
Oh, I wonder. There's some people like we had Caitlin on where she wouldn't even want to know that. Like that would be a spoiler to her, I think.
So she watches through every movie all the way to the end just in case? Like, why would you not want to know that?
Maybe she would be okay with that. I don't know. But she doesn't even like the idea of being like, oh, it's got a crazy ending, this movie, because she's like, I'm waiting for the crazy, you know. To be a little more forgiving for all the conversations we've had where we make fun of people who care about spoilers, maybe the reason I don't care is because I have a bad memory, because I'm pretty sure anytime anybody's told me something about a movie, by the time I'm watching it, I've forgotten, and it's like kind of out of mind. I would really have to concentrate on knowing what somebody told me about a movie to be like,
I was like,
spoilers,
wait, Kaiser Soze was that guy?
But that story he told was so cool, man. That couldn't just... What?
Anyways, when I was reading the Wikipedia article, it seems like it's gotten much more popular in recent years over when it first started. And it also says that it traces the lineage of the after credit scene to the idea of an encore from a regular show.
It feels like an epilogue.
Yeah, it's essentially what it is.
I guess the way Marvel uses it, it's not really, though. The way Marvel uses it, it's more of like a teaser for the next film.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Have you heard of this, where sometimes when people review movies, they'll be like, and there was an after credit scene for this one and done movie that seems to suggest that they're open to making another one? And that's kind of like what the after credit scene is saying, is like, we could take it in this direction. But I guess with the Marvel thing, like, they have some kind of, I assume, extended contract about how many movies they're making. They already know that the next thing's coming out.
But Sinners, for example, it felt like an epilogue.
Yeah.
Like, it was like this, we don't want to leave you hanging. Here's what happens in the future.
Even though they could have, it would have been perfectly fine.
I thought the same thing. Isabel said she liked the after credit scene, and I was like, I don't know. Sometimes tying up a loose end is worse in a way than just... You know, just leave it. It's fine. I don't need to know what happened 50 years in the future.
Yeah. Shout out to our original idea of us creating after credit scenes for movies where we wanted one. Of just being like, I kind of wish that they would completely nullify the ambiguous ending and just tell us what happened.
Yeah. And then Inception, it just being a guy who comes out and he's like, it was all the dream of a child.
It was all in a snow globe.
It was all in a snow globe.
That's all, folks. Good night. Yeah, I can't remember, like, the best after credit scene that I've seen anytime recently. I don't know. I'm almost kind of opposed to them. I almost feel like you should just be able to tell the story and wrap it up. Unless your argument is that it's a way to get people to sit through all the credits, which you should, because morally you should appreciate the people who worked on this big piece of art that you just enjoyed, potentially.
Yeah, that's kind of what my column gets into, so we can do mine first if you want to talk about that when we get there.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite encore from a show that you've seen?
It is funny when you feel the energy of it's a fake encore, when you feel that energy. I remember Open Mike Eagle once did that, where he like came back and he was like, y'all knew that was fake, right? Because I went into a place where there was no exit from. I was like hiding.
Yeah, he just went into a closet. Yeah. Yeah, but he loves wrestling. He understands the kayfabe of it, which I think that's perfectly fine. I think it's really annoying to be an adult who's like, do they really think they're going to trick us by walking off the stage as if they're not going to come back?
Sometimes you don't do it with the right energy, though. I think you should kind of sell that you're leaving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You pack a suitcase on stage. You, like, check your ticket. You check in for your flight. You call an Uber. You get your stick and bindle over your shoulder. You're like, all right, I'm leaving.
You're taking a call with your agent. You're like, fucking worst crowd of my life, dog. Do not book me in this city again. They're a bunch of losers.
My favorite one was the Wonder Years when they came back and did Came Out Swinging. I think maybe one other song, but I think it might have just been Came Out Swinging. And then shout out to Denzel Curry, who sometimes I cheat and at concerts I'll look up what the set list is so I can make a playlist of it and get familiar with those specific songs. And for like the last 12 shows, I was like, oh, he doesn't do an encore. And then I guess Sacramento was loud enough that he was like, all right, I'll do one more. Let's get back in here. But I literally left because I was like, according to like the set list website, he never comes back for an encore.
Well, I mean, I do that too. I don't even know if that's cheating anymore. I think that's getting older and being like, oh, a lot of my favorite artists have released 2 or 3 albums I didn't keep up with since I was a big fan. Yeah. So let me actually like know what they're going to perform.
But yeah, other things about credits. Yeah, it's mostly in superhero movies and comedies. It's mostly bloopers. I don't know if I've seen like a satirical after credit scene, which seems like an area for comedy.
I guess because the last big like spoof movie was the Scary Movie franchise. And I think they've tried it for superhero movies, but I don't like...
Yeah, I think they did do it for Scary Movie, yeah.
None of the spoof movies since then have been big enough, but I'm sure they did a satirical after credit scene, right? That's like an easy...
Yeah.
That's easy material.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to get to my column?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if I have that much else to say about it. I think they're cool. I think they're okay. Sometimes I think it's fundamentally you should just wrap up the story when it actually wraps up, but... I don't know
if I think they're cool. I think I could go without.
Sometimes they're kind of hype.
Okay, a column we've never brought in before, because I guess it's more of like a Q&A column, but it's called Ask A and L. It seems like the New York Times has like a media sort of column where you can send in questions about TV and movies. And Alyssa Wilkinson answered this question in 2024. Question, is it morally correct to stay seated until the end of the credits in a cinema?
Short question. And it's someone who goes to a cinema.
Cinema.
To go watch films. Is it morally correct to... is this a moral question? Is this a moral or ethical question?
I guess it could be pitched that way. Like, they took the time to make the movie. I think the problem is that movies to us are like a product somebody made.
Hmm.
And it doesn't really feel so much like you're going to appreciate art. It seems like you're going to intake entertainment. But I guess if it was like a more highbrow activity to view films, to go watch films, it would be considered like, oh, you're kind of disrespecting the artist. I don't know if moral, but obviously it's not immoral. You're not hurting anyone, but I sort of see what they're gesturing at here.
Yeah, but it strikes me as the same kind of people who say, like, I don't make any substitutions when I order a dish from a restaurant because what I want to experience is the chef's intention.
Mm.
And it's like, no, some ingredients I don't like. I would modify it. It'll make it more enjoyable for me, and it would make it more enjoyable for me if I could get to my car a little bit earlier and get home.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I will stick around for, like, the top build names just to see, like, okay, do I recognize anybody
or anything?
Well, sometimes
there is, like, a genuine curiosity of, like, oh, who played that person?
Yeah.
Or knowing what songs they license. Sometimes I like seeing that at the end.
I will say, sitting through the whole credits, it's like, are you... I guess that's, like, to them, it feels like respecting...
I've only ever done that with horror movies that really shook me, where I was like, I kind of just want to sit in this for a second and I might as well watch the credits.
How about this? Would you feel different if it was an opening night with the director, actors, and filmmakers there? Because in that case, I would say it's disrespectful to get up and leave.
Because there's probably going to be a Q&A, right? You have to stick around. They're just there to watch it and then be like, all
right,
see
you. Imagine you didn't want to, you decided that you do have to run after that. You don't have time to sit for the whole Q&A.
I would give a standing ovation while I'm walking away. And I'd say, brava, brava.
Wow, you really squared that circle. Okay, perfect answer, perfect answer.
Mm-hmm. I do like that the picture does, alludes to the original post-credit scene, which is the end question mark or Finn question mark, I guess, is the other one, especially when they do a the end and then the question mark like fades in.
What's up with Finn? They don't have enough room on the screen to finish the word.
Hey, it's pretentious, I'll tell you what. Hey, make the font smaller if you can't put the end on the screen, you know what I mean?
Well, I just meant the IS for ISH for Finnish.
Is that what you thought? It was a shortening of Finnish?
Is it not?
No, it's just Italian, isn't it? Not Italian, it's just Latin, right?
Oh, that makes so much more sense. I really thought it was, like, slang.
Like, in Spanish, fin de semana means the end of the week, the weekend.
Well, you know, I learned something new today, Adrian. I have a little bit of egg on my face, hey. But...
Oh, okay, you're a little Kyle from South Park. Today, I learned something. Yeah, I don't think this is a moral question. I don't know if Kwame, if he's on the New York Times and he's going to be writing in about this later
on. What if
on,
this
but,
was the one question where
decision.
Kwame was like, you son of a bitch. This is the most immoral thing I've ever heard.
How are you going to support the writer's strike but not support all the writers that worked on this film? Or the grip, or the camera guy, or the lighting, or the stuntmen, stunt women.
Or CGI artist number 48.
Yeah. Ooh, have you ever sat through the credits of a Netflix show that's translated in a bunch of different languages, and so they have the credits every single language, and you're like, I definitely don't want to sit through this bullshit. I do not need to know who plays the main character in Belgian.
Yeah, and Belgian, I guess Flemish. That really killed the idea of credits, because Netflix, from when I had
skip it. Skip the intro. Skip
even
the
with end. A film, we'll just like put it in a tiny box and be like, get out of here.
We'll get ready for the next thing. Yeah. They're just trying to get you into the next thing as quickly
as
possible.
You're going to be watching who watches something right after a movie? That's crazy behavior. If you've just finished one movie and you're about to just
You've never
dive,
been to a double feature?
I would give it a second.
They do play the credits at a movie theater, yeah. At a drive-in. Yeah, I don't know. Is the obligation on the movie maker to make the credits more interesting then? At what point do you put the responsibility on them?
I mean, sometimes they do right for the top build. Sometimes it's like there's more graphics
some good music
and
or
stuff
you
going
put
on.
A couple,
but then when it goes to
or you make them come in and out in a cool way. Or
I guess the after credit scene did in some ways solve this issue. It got people to sit through credits.
That's what I was saying. That's maybe part of it. I don't know. What like the average credits are like, what, 6 minutes long?
Yeah, probably something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and with movies getting longer, it's like, do you even want to spend those extra 6 minutes?
You know what's crazy? Video game credits. So many people work on those. Those are like armies. It'll be like a scrolling screen for like 15 to 20 minutes of names scrolling fast.
Yeah, but that's completely different. I've sat through credits for video games because I felt accomplished and wanted to sit in that feeling for a while.
And then, you know what's really fun? When a video game has like a little bit, like you can kind of still move the character around or something during the credits. Play a little like mini game or just run around the world.
There you go. You got to incentivize us to appreciate the people on these projects.
Cool. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, sure.
Also, the official answer to this question is that you're a very immoral person. Straight to hell.
Yeah, that's going to be in the calculation for your good place placement. We are making a distinction here that we didn't make before, which is for Netflix, you're watching a movie at home. Like, who gives a shit? In the cinema, it almost feels like there's a slight, like, you kind of maybe should, but nah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, fuck them.
I've thought about this question my entire adult life. Whoa. Crazy start to this. I've thought about it for the first time right about now.
That does make them a better question answerer than us, though.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have, too. But to answer it, we have to think about what movie credits do and why they're there at all. The stayers and the leavers. There are two schools of thoughts here, both of which I think are pretty reasonable. On the one hand, there are the stayers. I used to be one. When my partner and I began seeing movies together, I was often writing about them, and he was working in film production. So we had two good reasons to stick around. We felt it was a way of honoring and celebrating all the people who pitch in to make a movie. Filmmaking is inherently collaborative, more than most arts, and even the office assistants towards the end of the credit sequences. Especially the office assistants deserve acknowledgement for doing a stressful, surprisingly difficult job. And let's be honest, we also stayed to the end because it was fun to spot our friends' names in the credits. Over time, though, I've become more of a leaver for a few practical reasons. I often see several movies in a day, and I've got to get across town for the next one. Sometimes I really need to use the bathroom. And in this era of ultra-budget productions and mega-effects-driven movies, those credits can go on for 10 or 15 minutes, especially when you add in post-credit scenes. This was not always the case. End credits weren't really a common thing in American film until the late 1960s. when a much larger number of people involved in the production began getting credit for their work in the movie itself. Before then, there was usually a few title cards that announced major cast and crew credits. Adding the monkey wranglers and location scouts and drivers and production interns results in longer credits. Do the studios want you to watch? When I think about this question, I'm struck by how the cultural import of credits has shifted in recent years. Here's what I mean. It does seem like studios want you to watch all the credits, at least for their biggest movies. How can I tell? Because movies from Marvel and DC insert credit scenes after the credits roll that fill in key details about an upcoming sequel or contain Easter eggs for the fans of the franchise. Not everyone will stay, but people invested in the ongoing story will. And in a theater, you can't just fast forward through the credits to watch the post-credits scene. When I stick around for those, I always learn something. I see the name of the production babies or the dogs that hung around the office, reminding me that these are real people who made this movie. I might also realize, queasily, how many corporations outsource post-production to cheaper labor elsewhere. But have you noticed that streaming services, even those owned by those same studios, seemingly discourage you from watching closing credits? If I'm trying to read the credits on, say, Netflix or Max, I'd better have my remote control at the ready. Otherwise, the second the movie is done, the image shrinks to a tiny unreadable corner of the screen, and a countdown clock to something the algorithm thinks I'd like begins. It's a panic scramble every time. It's as if they're saying that they have to run the credits, but they know we don't care about the people involved. The goal seems to be to make it as hard as possible to see them. This makes me mad, but it also worries me. There's a real move in Hollywood studios to cut out as much human labor as possible through the use of AI tools. If you can't even read the credits, will you know? The film Heretic, starring Hugh Grant, has the line in its credits, "No generative AI was used in the making of this film." I can easily foresee a future in which that line carries a great deal of meaning. If that happens, I want to stick around to the end anyhow. You don't have to stay, but you might want to. You asked if you have a moral duty to watch the end credits of a movie. No, you don't. But in an age in which human labor, especially on movies made by huge corporations, is being systematically devalued, you might want to. You may even want to clap.
I'm glad that they hyperlinked Hugh Grant so I knew who that is. I had a few ideas about that. One is, do you ever stay for the credits and get surprised by the fact that they still do like a no animals were harmed in this movie or whatever?
No, I think that just scrolls right by my eyes at this point. I remember when I was a kid,
usually happens near the end.
Because when I was a kid, yeah. I was always like, yeah, that would have been my assumption. Like, I didn't think you harmed an animal in the making of this movie with no animals in it.
Yeah. That or sometimes when you watch an international movie and they have like the little thing at the end where they're like, thank you to the, art department of Canada for funding this film or whatever. Mm. And they have some of those or whatever. Anyways, I don't know. That's one of the things I thought.
Were you thinking about that
when
she said like the thing about the office dogs, like the kind of cute things they add sometimes?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of those. I see that more in like acknowledgments of like academic papers. I do like the no generative AI thing. I'm sure that we'll be on the lookout for that in certain movies. Yeah, I think the AI and human labor thing is a good point of view that we didn't bring in at all. So, yeah, kudos to that. I think it's a good point. But I do like that at the end of the day, they're still reasonable. And they're like, no, obviously, from a moral standpoint, it does not matter. Also, lady, if you have to go across town to watch your next movie, maybe just go to a movie theater that plays both movies.
I mean, presumably this is in LA and these could be like small movies that have limited runs in certain theaters. There's two types of people in this world, Adrian, stayers and leavers.
Yeah, I did kind of, I was like, there's probably a middle ground there too. I've watched too many movies alone recently to really think about this in a serious way, but is it ever a conversation when you are there with friends of like, do we leave now or do we stay for
everybody
the
I know is a leaver?
Really? Wow, disrespectful.
I think sometimes I just want to, like you said, sometimes I want to sit with it, and that's the only time when I'm like, oh, could we have taken an extra beat? But it's like, that also feels not selfish, but you know, I don't know. If people are ready to go, I'm not going to
be... Your friends are, like, getting up and, like, running so fast in place that a cloud comes up and then they shoot out.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get out of here.
It's like, if we're just going to go stand in the lobby and discuss how we felt about the movie, could we have done that?
Why not just do that? Yeah.
But sometimes I do want to think about it for like 10 seconds before I go discuss it with somebody because I'm like, I don't know. I want to coalesce my thoughts.
Yeah. Sometimes you're like sitting there and like, was that movie fascist or anti-fascist?
That's the most important question to ask about any piece of media at any point. And you need to argue it intensely online and create video essays back and forth where you get salty if somebody feels it has different politics than you felt it had.
Yeah. And you have to really talk down to people and call them how idiotic they are for thinking that they disagree with you.
The only paradigm to enjoy a movie on is, did it agree with my politics?
Kicking and screaming. Was it woke?
It objectively was not. How they treated the Italian-American immigrant experience.
And the Asian-American child as well.
To be fair.
Can I leave that out?
I think that was, there was a complex intersection of identities there because he was adopted by lesbians.
True. Right.
I don't think that child would call themselves Asian-American. They'd be like, my identity is a little too complex to put a label on.
I think my thing is that, like, the thing about kicking and screaming is, like, anybody could get it. You know, it wasn't about making fun of one type of person. Yeah. It was, like, everybody got
fun of everybody.
So, like, it's equal.
Bill Belichick got
everybody.
It. Little Asian baby got it.
Everybody got it. It was Mike Ditka. It wasn't Bill Belichick, right?
Football guy.
Joe Montana could get it. Anybody could
Bill
get
Belichick
it.
Is Patriots. Mike Ditka, Chicago Bears. Is that? Or...
Sure,
if
you say so.
I think I'm wrong, too, which is extra funny. Pierce, let us know in how wrong I was and how humiliating was.
He hasn't watched Kicking and Screaming. That's a soccer movie. That's for Europeans.
No,
gays.
I meant about who those coaches were for.
Oh, I guess he would know either way. Yeah, you're right. Okay. But, in terms of this question overall, I think, good question. I liked it. Pretty fun little question to ask the New York Times. What are people doing with their lives?
That's an interesting one. This feels like it might have been written by the question answerer, right? It's like, I want to write a little essay on this.
Yeah, maybe, especially these like one sentence ones where it doesn't have anything about you as a person.
Yeah.
Because there's no like, oh, I'm a busy mom or anything. It's just like, hey, here's a really simple question for you to wax poetic about. Okay, do you want to get into my article?
Yeah, let's do it.
So this one's not super on theme, but it is about what happened after being in a movie, so kind of like an after credits. This is from The Hollywood Reporter. I'm going to send it over to Paul right now. All right, so this is another new column from The Hollywood Reporter. This is Introducing Dear Remy, Lessons from a Hollywood Career Coach. Remy Blumenfeld built his reputation as a celebrated TV producer in England. Now he's putting his talents to better use with an advice column guaranteed, sort of, to solve Hollywood's naughtiest personal problems. And that's not as in like a tied knot, not like naughty as in like naughty. This is from May 11th, 2024. Here we go. An OnlyFans page for my feet? Dear Remy. I was in a movie that had a very languorous shot of my feet. During shooting, I thought nothing of it. But now I have found that there is a grim corner of the internet that discusses my feet at length, to the point where, when you enter my name into Google, it auto-completes with the word feet. I am by no means a precious person. I would happily take part in a comedy roast, but there's something about this fascination with my feet that makes me feel compartmentalized. For all my training and craft, the world only looks at me as a pair of pads. Is it time for me to do an avant-garde psychological drama, or should I just give up and set up an OnlyFans page for my feet? My agent keeps encouraging me to have more of an online presence, after all.
This person
seems like they're in good spirits. Yeah, I was going to say, this person's got quips. I like it. They would be good at a roast.
Adrian.
Do you think this is Margaret Qualley from that Tarantino movie?
Or many actresses that have been in Tarantino films.
Correction, you did say we have to correct the misinformation. The movie where Selma Hayek pours tequila down her feet so that Quentin Tarantino can drink it is not a Tarantino movie. He's just an actor in that movie.
Mm.
So he didn't make the movie for that to happen. I apologize for that incorrect information.
I feel like I'm going to know we made it when we get WikiFeet pages. And I'm going to be pissed if you get a WikiFeet page and I don't.
Have you been showing feet for free?
No, I haven't. I'm just saying. Once people, I guess we do have to start doing video content for that to be a possibility.
Yeah, well, just photos online, I guess. When it comes to feet, does that have the same parameters as like, if someone were to jerk off from a picture of my feet from when I was 17, that's like fucked up? Or like, how does that work?
I think that is fucked up. Yeah, I'm gonna stake ground.
But if
on
they
it.
Saw the same picture of my feet from 19, it's okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Or is there a problematic age gap with my feet, where depending on what age they are, but depending on what the age gap is between me and my feet, or them and my feet, it could be problematic.
Well, feet do age quicker than the rest of your body. They get a lot of wear and tear.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. It's like a chef talking about how different parts of the cow have different like amounts of use, and that's why it changes the flavor and their toughness. The feet are the first to go.
You know, Adrian, we answer a lot of tough questions on this podcast, but some stuff I think is too rich for even us.
What do you mean?
Yeah, you've presented me with a moral quandary we'll have to think about for a while. We're going to have to be like the question answerer from my column where she's like, I spent my whole life thinking about sitting for credits.
I really like, and again, credit to the question asker for being funny. The idea of being like, I don't want people looking for me as a pair of pads. Who says that?
These paws are from my husband only. Oh, I guess they. What if it was a man? That would be a funny twist too. But I think they would have mentioned that. I don't think.
Well, the picture in the thing looks like women's feet. I'll go ahead and say that.
Yeah, but I think the Hollywood Reporter added that as the header image. I don't think that's actually the feet being discussed.
I thought that was
here.
Sent in by that. I thought we already we decided as a podcast that's how we're going to take these things.
It says Adobe Stock right below the photo, Adrian.
That's the name of the lady. That's her real name.
That's Adobe actually kind Stock. Of a cool name.
Yeah.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Adobe Stock.
Do you listen to enough like kind of mid tier podcasts and like videos and stuff that you hear people be like, oh, I got a wiki feet and it's crazy.
I have a
bad rating, yeah. Or I have a good rating or whatever. Like that's a pretty common like mid tier podcast talking
and
point.
That's how I know we'll have made it to that mid tier.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard Lauren Lapkus talk about her feet. I've heard the guy from Mythical Kitchen talk about his feet on wiki feet. I can't remember. I think his was like a people don't like them, and Lauren's was like I don't like that people like them. But yeah, it definitely
and
then, comes up in conversation.
And then lightning struck the building they were podcasting in, and they switched into each other's bodies so they could learn an important lesson about how hard it is to be.
The other side is.
Yeah.
Someone once told me the grass is much greener on the other side. It is crazy for your name to, when you Google it, to automatically come up with feet. I guess you're doing that Wired autocorrect interview at that point.
Oh, but
what do you
maybe
think would come up
point,
in the Wired autocorrect interview for you? My top two would definitely be, is Adrian Perez single? Is Adrian Perez ready to mingle?
Probably. Do you think this person has just Googled their own feet so much that the algorithm they're getting tricked by the algorithm? They just don't realize that it's
there? Oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah. That's good advice. DuckDuckGo it to confirm that that's actually what's going on.
Yeah. What would be the best way to engage with this community anonymously? Should you go on there and be like, their feet's actually busted, try to get people uninterested?
Photoshop a picture of you online with peg legs.
Oh, and then they'll go, oh, they must have used prosthetic feet, or they must
That's
have used a
so
foot
perfect.
Actress in replacement of her
oh,
feet.
Oh, they used a double.
Yeah, they used a double for her feet.
Why is it that seems to have a special case for people where, like, I don't know. I don't know where we're heading down this rabbit hole of me asking this question, but like, if some dude's into hands, what are you going to cover your hands for the rest of your career? Like, what are you supposed to do? Like,
yeah.
What is this idea that people have a picture of something they're into about you that's normal that like, now you have to be worried about? It seems like ignoring it's the best idea.
I think that's kind of what they were getting at. I mean, like we pointed out already, the question asker seems to understand that this is a silly non-problem, but they're just kind of like,
well, it is kind of overshadowing their career, though. There is like a real kind of...
Yeah. And I do think that's the biggest problem here is you don't want somebody who's thinking about hiring you for your next film to Google your name and be like, oh, this is an unserious person or something like that, if that's what comes up.
Mm.
Yeah, it is odd because it's like, it's non-sexual, but it's been cast as you did something sexual or...
I don't know, like when you see YouTubers do the thing where they like blur their feet, do you think
that's
genuine
partially
or do you think that's
a joke?
The joke right?
I think that's a joke.
Yeah, right. That's the joke, right? Like, I don't know.
But it might be kind of genuine. That
Maybe.
YouTuber.
Do you have good feet? Would you show your feet?
Oh, I would show feet all day. Come on now.
Your hairy little hobbit toes. Wait, do you have hair pants? What do you have?
I have a hairy chest. My legs aren't
that
hairy.
Hair pants is when your hair stops at your ankle and then your feet are basically not covered in hair.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Guess that's how.
I mean, I have the knuckle hair.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's nothing on like the top of my foot. I don't have like top of the foot here.
For men, which is the more desirable thing for the wiki feet or the feet community? Do they want hair or do they not want hair? Or is this like levers and stayers where there's hair?
Yeah. There's the hair freaks and there's the clean freaks.
Okay. There's a dichotomy here. The community is split. The thing is, it would be so easy to make money off of this community of morons or hornballs. I don't know.
Yeah, why would you call them morons? They have, it's probably innate. I don't think it's a learned behavior.
Okay, even if you're into feet, it's objectively weird to feel like you need to be part of a forum discussing a specific actress's feet who has made no overtures.
But you can do that about
she's
their,
interested in showing
their
her feet
or their ass or whatever.
No, I think that's weird no matter what.
But you can do it about their great personality.
Yeah, that's my woke point I was getting to. You knew exactly where I was going with that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I see you.
Have you ever left a horny comment online about an actress?
But no.
Okay.
Who would I be talking to about that?
Do you think that's something normal people do? But
have I said something to Phil before about, like, hey, that actress, va-va-voom.
Va-va-voom, her feet were nice.
I'm not really a foot guy. I mean, I don't hate feet. I'm in that weird middle ground.
Okay, well...
I think you're kind of disgusted by feet, though, aren't you, though? I feel like I've gotten that sense from you before, that you're kind of disgusted by feet.
I don't think I'm disgusted by it. I think, like, toenails or, like, close-up of feet are just, like, a little bit jarring if you're not expecting it.
Okay. You don't want to be jump-scared by feet? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
And I don't know why. It seems like a common ad strategy to put, like, a weird close-up of feet.
Oh, you talked to this about Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still feel like I disagree with you. It's objectively weird to talk about, especially a non-famous actress's feet on a foot forum. That's not a healthy way to engage with your sexuality, even if you're into feet.
Is it harming anybody?
Yeah, her.
I feel like you're kink-shaming. I feel like you're kink-shaming.
No, her.
And that's crazy.
It's harming her. She's worried.
No, she's in good spirits about it.
She's in good spirits, but I think she would rather it not be happening.
Huh. I mean, there are plenty of things I'd rather not be happening, but I don't know if that means... I don't think the world
works
like
that.
It's
not the biggest problem in the world, but it is... It's odd.
I guess they're saying it affects their life and potentially their career. That's maybe the biggest thing. So then you have to get into a controversy. You have to do something crazy so that becomes... You have to pepper spray UC Davis students. That way you become... that becomes your number one search thing. Boom. Easy. That's what I would do. Do you remember the very similar article that we did about the girl who had a picture of her butt posted?
Oh, wasn't that just in her college, though? It was like, I became known as Nice Butt Girl on campus.
What is the world but a big college?
Oh, what was that pop punk song that's like, high school never ends?
Is that Blink-182?
Is that it? It's like,
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe it's Bowling for Soup.
I just remember the line that, like, Bill Gates is captain of the chess club.
And taxes are just homework for the adults. The DMV is the school nurse. Restaurants are our cafeteria. It's a guy who doesn't really understand analogies.
Jeffrey Epstein is a weird PE teacher.
Therapy is your homeroom. Life's just high school.
You kind of went a little country there at the end.
And your funeral, that's a pep rally. All right, anything else about this lady who has these nice gams on sale? Do you think that when she goes on dates, she has to do the thing that like rich people do in movies where she's like, well, I told you I was poor because I wanted to know you liked me for me. And not for my money.
I told you I had busted feet. I had gnarly ass feet because I would
need
to know.
Yeah, I told you that
me.
I had to think about my feet. But like, if I had shown them to you, you would have recognized them because they're world famous. I need to know that you love me for me, not just my feet.
This is good party conversation of like, don't Google me. There's all these weirdos who are obsessed with my feet.
That is true. And there's definitely a dude who just excuses himself to go to the bathroom right then and there.
Do you think she knew while she was shooting it? I feel like you have to know that's a risk.
She said she didn't. During shooting, I thought nothing of it. But there's a grim corner of the internet that discusses my feet at length. Do you think there's like how much is there to actually discuss? Do you think there's like a faction of people who are doing that like true rating system where they're like, actually, her feet aren't symmetrical, and actually the toe ratio between her big toe and the second digit actually isn't optimal for a beautiful foot, and she's actually got garbage feet if you think about it.
You know, I just assumed they were doing the thing where they're like following all her like known acquaintances and family and friends to try to find other pictures of her feet. I thought it was more like a detective crew.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Like, following everybody that might possibly know her on Instagram, yeah. See what she's been tagged in.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she has agents. She's not doing bad. I guess a lot of people have agents. That's not really proof of anything. Avant-garde psychological drama. I would go that way. I would go the avant-garde psychological drama, not the OnlyFans page.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for the answer?
Yeah. Okay, so this guy's British. So here we go. What's his name?
Remy Blumenfeld. Tudor. Oh, sorry. Illustration by Russ Tudor.
Dear Fetishized, it's important to retain a sense of humor, which you clearly have, about how audiences can claim ownership of you. Yet, under your jesting, I sense your discomfort. Would you feel differently, do you think, if it were other extremities that were being objectified? Say it was your ears or your fingers. I hear eyebrows are du jour right now. Are you perhaps more concerned about what family members, friends, or partners may think when searching your name? And can you take back some control here by warning your loved ones that the results may be podiatrically focused? Feet have always featured in art, from Caravaggio to Henry Moore. Would you tell Rembrandt to upload his woman bathing her feet at a brook to OnlyFans? Your followers will always want a piece of you. Might it be more productive to laugh it off, as you're attempting to do here, knowing that objectification is just one of the many costs of fame?
Would I tell Rembrandt to upload his woman bathing her feet at a brook to OnlyFans? I don't think I would. Personally, I don't think I would.
No, you should sell it to a museum.
Talking about confused metaphors, I don't get that. It seems like what that would imply is that she should consider her feet high art.
Yeah, queen.
Which I don't know if that's helpful. She should upload feet pics, but only to classy sites. The high art feet sites. Yeah, should be
hanging up at the Louvre. Well, what do you think about the thing? What's up? What is behind this sentiment of would you feel the same if it was your ears or fingers or eyebrows? I feel like I kind of made that point, but I don't really understand what he's saying by making that point.
Yeah, I don't either.
Is he saying that you shouldn't feel that bad about it because it could be anything and people are weird and what are you going to do?
I don't know, because I feel like she would be equally uncomfortable if people were like, oh, I really want to fuck her eyebrows. If it was her ears and somebody was like, oh, I could just lick it all over. That's horrible. That's so uncomfortable.
Did I ever tell you about my friend who, I can't remember if it was part of a threesome or part of a twosome, but he hooked up with a gal who mentioned that she was really into teeth, and that she liked his teeth. And he was like, okay, that seems like a thing that people could be into, I guess. And then when they started making out, he did not realize that she was gonna literally be like licking every single one of his tooth individual of his teeth individually during their makeout session is like part of her thing, is that she was like licking every like part of his beautiful little smile.
What are you supposed to do during that? Like, just go limp?
Yeah, you want to go dentist office.
Okay. She's like, wider? She's like, do you need sunglasses? Is the light too bright? You're like, nah, it's fine.
Yeah. They just asked me that recently. That's funny. I went to the dentist last week. Partners think they're searching. Oh, yeah, I guess the thing about when people search your name, they can see your feet. But, like, I assume if they're friends and family, they've already seen your feet. What's the issue? Is that they know that there are freaks who like your feet? That's not your fault.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you want that to be... I said it's like a funny party story, but, like, that's a funny party story with friends who are, like, your age or something. Would that be... That would be an odd thing for your parents to be like, what movies have you been in? I Googled you recently, and you're like, oh, shit.
You were in that horror movie Feet?
Oh, yeah, where the feet have teeth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't imagine being embarrassed by this. Like, I just would be flattered. I think that's the end of it for me, is I would just be flattered.
Yeah, but you're kind of a hard person to embarrass, and you don't have, like, a lot of the same hang-ups about this stuff that I think might hold somebody back with, I don't know, maybe a more conservative family.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. You'd be embarrassed if your family found out that your biggest thing was that you were big for feet.
I wouldn't be super embarrassed, but yes, if this happened to me, I would be like, oh, that sucks that my parents are going to Google my name and the first thing that comes up is fetishists talking about my feet.
Yeah.
That'd be awkward.
Okay.
It wouldn't be like the end of the world, but I think from her tone that that's not the issue. It's just like a little uncomfortable.
I don't know. Any sentiment to wrap this one up? Or
I think basically the answerer got there, which is you seem to have a sense of humor about it, and that's the right way to handle this. Just move on. Keep doing you.
Pepper spray UC Davis protesters. That's all I'm saying.
That's kind of like the silent advice behind every piece of advice we give.
Oh, yeah. Be on the right side of history.
That's the unsaid piece of advice that you can tag on to anything. Right.
All of the unsaid piece of advice. Hit the gym, start dieting, and pepper spray UC Davis protesters. Unarmed UC Davis protesters.
That's just natural behavior for anybody trying to make it in this world.
That's just, yeah, that's obvious. All right, cool. You ready to get into a third segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Paul, do you want to break this down for us? What are we doing?
All right, Adrian. So, Adrian, to me, after credits scenes are primarily kind of like I mentioned earlier, to me, they speak to like Marvel films where they're used to tee up another film in a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, franchises come and go. They wane in popularity, Marvel, Harry Potter, so on. And so what I wanted to do is go through a list of the 10 highest grossing franchises of all time and decide if they need a sequel. And if they do...
A squeakquel.
And if they do, I think me and you are going to play the part of some studio execs. And if we want to green light it, pitch our conditions for why we would green light it. What would make us feel like this franchise needs another film in it? What could they do different?
What would be fresh?
To make it fresh, to make it watchable, to bring it into the 2025 era films.
And we still got to hit all four quadrants.
Do you know the four quadrants? Like, I know that phrase. I don't really... Is it like...
Yeah, women, men on 18 to 36, black people with a college degree, and then Asian business owners.
Okay.
Nothing about Latinos, which is crazy.
James Bond.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm an expert on this series. I've watched maybe 30 minutes of one of them. But I'm going to go ahead and say, we need a black one.
In a wheelchair. And
no,
she
no,
has
no,
to
no.
Be
it can
queer.
Be, it can be Idris Elba. Actually, they might do a women one before they do a woman one before they do a black one.
Would they change the name, or would it be a woman with the name James? If they went woman before they went black, do you think that would be almost like just we don't want to do what you told us to do? That would be like a very childish, like, we're woke, we just don't want to do what you said.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I don't know. What's your relationship with this series? How knowledgeable are you about it?
I've watched some of the older ones, but the only one I really
Go ahead. I see Daniel Craig in the middle. Who are the guys on the left and the right? Is that Pierce Brosnan?
To the left, yes.
And who's the guy on the right?
He's also
famous.
Looks
like Tom Cruise.
I would have to look it up.
That guy's handsome as hell. That's a good James Bond. That's a good classic James Bond.
But yeah, other than Daniel Craig, I don't have any particular like affinity for any of them. I've seen a couple of the older ones.
I remember when Daniel Craig's movies came out in Spanish class, my Spanish teacher said that he didn't like the casting of Daniel Craig, which is the first time I heard people have strong opinions about the James Bond casting. And specifically what he said is, "Ello tiene una cara como el mono." He has a face like a monkey, is what he said about him.
Well, good thing he got that out of his system for Daniel Craig, because it's about to be way too offensive. Because
when Idris Elba has it. And that dude was the worst. He was a Cuban immigrant who used to be a communist and then switched to being a Fox News conservative. Shout out, Senor Avila.
Sometimes you got to do a 180 in life. Sometimes you got to hit him with everything I used to believe, I don't anymore.
Shout out to my lib days where I came in really hyped on Obama winning and he was really mad about it. Okay, so what's your stipulations for another James Bond? Can we do a guy doing the song? Can we do a woman James Bond with a guy doing the song?
You mean instead of Adele? Your problem with Adele?
What, you mean Billie Eilish? Who else has done James Bond's theme?
Oh, Skyfall.
Adele isn't the only person who's done a... Adele isn't the only artist who's done a James Bond theme.
I just thought that's what you were referencing, since that's like the most famous one.
No, Billie Eilish also did one. I assume they always have a woman do it.
I didn't know that was a rule of the franchise, but it could be.
I, I have gone off top saying I don't know anything about this franchise.
I think gun violence has gotten a little bit...
Ooh, samurai James Bond.
Yeah, it's gotten a little too much in our society. He should stop making guns look cool.
If it is going to be Idris Elba, there has to be a scene where he explains to somebody what elastic demand means. That's my only stipulation.
Why?
Because that's my favorite scene in The Wire, is when he talks to the other drug dealers after going to night school for economics, going, now see what we have here is a product with inelastic demand. See, you know, he's got to reprise that scene.
I don't think it was Idris Elba's character, but there's the one from The Wire also where they're like, the drug game is like chess. You see here, you got your queen. You got what?
Was that Omar?
Yeah, something. I've never watched The Wire.
That's Obama's favorite character.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Idris Elba has also never watched The Wire.
Is that true?
That's
Is
true.
That something he said during interviews? Yeah.
That's an actual fact, yeah.
He was like, I don't like that prestige TV shit.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm watching EastEnders.
All right, cool. Next up, we got X-Men.
Really? Highest grossing? That's crazy.
At $2,458,462,356.
You know I don't like to be this guy. It's got to be X people moving on. We can't be stuck in the past doing X-Men.
X NPs.
Honestly, that's a superpower right there. What's more brave than doing that?
There should be parallel squads. It should still the X-Men should still be in the universe, but there should be X-Women, X-NBs, X-Aces.
There should be X-NBs, but one squad is the Masks and one is the Femmes. Yeah, right. And then the true neutrals are in the middle.
I like this idea. X-People, okay.
X-People. I know that they're supposed to be an allegory for racism, and yet everybody in this picture is white, so that could also be fixed. I don't know if that's true to the whole cast of people.
Storm is black.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Halle Berry. Besides that, what do I want out of a new X-Men movie if we're going to make more?
I was thinking their powers should be way wackier. If these are mutated genes giving them their powers, I'm thinking there should be like a person with like...
I metabolize sugar twice as fast as the normal human on average. I have dichromia. I have two different eye colors. I'm immune to sickle cell anemia. That's my superpower.
All right. Next up, we got the Avengers, Adrian. I can't believe this is only number 8 on the list. I would have thought it'd be higher. But,
Who's this lady on the far right of this picture? Should I know who she is?
Oh my, that looks so confusing. It looks like Elastigirl, but it's a Avengers
stretchy
hero
lady. Okay, well I
do not remember her character.
Okay, interesting. Marvel, what does Marvel need to do?
Is this somehow separate? Is Marvel's going to be lower? Is it Marvel's going to be number one, but they count the Avengers as separate? I don't know.
That would be insane if they were still number one. Hmm.
I think this time they got to fight imperialism if we're going to bring them back.
Ooh.
Isn't that part of what people said about the new Superman? Is that it's like it tries to tackle the idea of like, why is this person always fighting aliens or like supernatural beings? Like, why are they not fighting the injustices in our world? And that's kind of what it tries to be about. So maybe Avengers shouldn't do that. Somebody's taken that lane. Superman's already taken it. We need another idea.
Yeah.
I think this time they should fight for mental health. They should fight toxic masculinity.
Oh, the male loneliness epidemic?
Should fight the male loneliness epidemic.
That'd be a good battle.
But in a healthy way, without going toxically masculine. There's a scene where they teach Andrew Tate that men do have it hard, but you should also be respectful and kind to women.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Okay, the DC Extended
Universe.
There's
no way the DC Extended Universe makes more money than the MCU.
I'll scroll down. Maybe Marvel counts as separate. Okay, they have Spider-Man, Star Wars. Marvel's its own separate listing.
Okay. All right. DC Extended Universe with Gal Gadot as the poster child. Not a fan of that.
Is her name not pronounced Gal Gadot? Have I been being pretentious this whole time? Or
no, it is Gal Gadot.
Oh, is she like Anderson .Paak, where she's like, don't forget the dot in my name? Mm-hmm. That stands for That's detail.
True. You know, I pitched this joke idea to Phil, and he didn't really understand it. But is this a good stand-up joke? I'm a real rebel. I spell MF Doom all lowercase and Bell Hooks all uppercase.
Yeah, it's a real great joke for the most niche audience of all time.
What? People who are into alt rap and then feminist theory. I don't know. It's a pretty good joke, right? All right. I won't use it on stage.
It'll kill at the DSA conference.
I don't think they know who MF Doom is.
I think they do. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
What are people into nowadays? Actually, you're right. Based on people I've known from DSA, maybe not. There's not as many like nerdy hip hop guys as you would expect. It's a lot more like indie rock guys.
Okay, what do we have to say about the DC universe? Make a competent movie? Is that what they should do next?
Yeah, let me channel my Kevin O'Leary. I'll give you $5 million. Make it competent this time. Although $5 million would be such a small budget for one of these superhero movies.
I have nothing else to say about the DCEU. Can we move on to the next one?
Next up, we got Batman.
Ooh, we got the Batman.
So many of these are
DC, but they're also separating DC.
Yeah, because I guess he has his own franchises that aren't part of the like DC universe.
I think I have a pretty obvious one for this one, but take it back to the goofy 90s versions. Don't do the super serious Nolan versions.
Yeah, I feel like you probably got to let that pendulum swing because it's always going to seem tired to just try to redo. The Joker got his own kind of like Batman franchise side movie. What other character could we really dig into in the Batman franchise?
Well, the Penguin also got his own.
Could we get a full movie about Albert?
Oh, the butler.
Yeah.
Hmm. That could be fun.
Yeah. It would be kind of like a slice of life film about...
Has there never been talks about doing a
Alfred,
Robin transforming into...
Albert.
Has there never been talks about doing a Robin turning into Nightwing movie?
I don't know that
lore.
Why
have we never had like a serious Robin movie?
You know, how the Christopher Nolan movies did Robin always kind of like...
Wait, who played Robin in the Christopher? Oh, it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, but it wasn't like really Robin. He just kind of was a cop who helped Batman.
Oh, okay. Well, I want a like Call Me by Your Name romance movie about Batman and Robin.
Oh,
that's what should be the next one.
Batman should be a gay love story. That would actually be kind of beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right, number five, Paul's favorite, J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World. So what I think they should do from here is that they should make a mobile app game that people play that has to do with wizards or something.
Is that not already a thing? They've really squeezed this lemon as hard as they could. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They've really squeezed all the juice out of this they could. I'm trying to think of a silly piece of media I could say that, like, oh, there should be a choose-your-own-adventure book, but that probably exists. What could I even say that they haven't, like, sold off the rights of Harry Potter to make a version
they
of?
They should do a crossover with the Wizards of Waverly Place.
Oh. Hmm. You know, any movie is actually a Harry Potter movie if you just think about it as the Muggles in that world.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. I guess they have the TV series coming out pretty soon. All right. Spider-Man.
Ooh.
I mean, Cards on the Table, the only superhero movies I've enjoyed in recent and long-standing memory, so I actually do have some genuine opinions about liking it. I don't know about what I want them to do
They're
next.
They're a little bit braver with it, right? Like, I guess Sam Raimi was before it had been solidified as how you make a superhero movie, so he had a bit of freedom, but then also the animated ones, like the multiverse ones, was just like
kick ass.
That was good, and I don't really know how they convinced the studio. Maybe because it was animated they weren't as controlling over the property. I don't know. I didn't watch the one with like Andrew Garfield, and wasn't there even another
I didn't
one
either. Tom Holland, right? There were like four Tom Holland ones. I didn't watch any of those. Oh, maybe I shouldn't profess to be a fan and then say that I missed all of it besides Sam Raimi and the animated ones. But,
yeah, the Tom Holland ones were the Marvel ones, though, right? Those were the ones where his character intersected with the Marvel universe.
Yeah, whereas Sam Raimi was Sony, and then I don't know what Andrew Garfield was.
This one, they already do play with switching up the race and gender, so we can't just say that's what they have to do for a new one to make it interesting.
And species. Sometimes there's a pig Spider-Man.
So how I don't know, this is the one that they let them get away with actually doing fun stuff, so how can we reinvigorate it?
I don't know the comics well enough, but there's probably some stories to pull from, some villains that don't get talked about a lot, but then again they have a bunch of animated series where they, you know, villain of the week do those things. So I'm gonna go ahead and say this is the one that I'm willing to admit, despite my hubris, that I don't think I have anything to do to improve.
And
this
they have
series.
Like a beloved video game franchise. Man, Spider-Man really stays winning as far as like actually being widely beloved even by cynical people.
Yeah, I used to play those GameCube Spider-Man games all the time. They were fun. So, you know, my hot take, I was going to say, stick with the organic Spider-Man where he just makes webs instead of just makes a thing that shoots webs. Because, like, that's the cool thing. He should be able to just do that out of a hole in his hand.
The Spider-Man backpacks everybody has in elementary school. I think we should play off that to create a film franchise.
They should do a Spider-Man where the whole thing about him keeping his identity secret isn't even a thing. He just wears the suit because he thinks it's cool.
Was this a gag from Into the Spider-Verse? Did they go into a universe where it was a man spider and it was a universe of all spider people and one person got bitten by a man?
I don't know, but that's funny. I don't know what kind of spider survives a bite from a man, but that's cool.
Well, it's a tiny man. It's a tiny radioactive man who bites
them. Oh, so it's a universe of giant spiders and little men.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Disney live action reimaginings. Oh, what a disappointing number three.
Yeah, that's crazy. I guess that's why they keep making them. These are apparently really successful.
Yeah, my advice is kill yourself. I don't care. I don't know, man.
Oh, come on. You can't imagine something that we need a live action reimagining of?
Cars.
The eyes would be so creepy.
No. They don't try to make them look like cartoons anymore. They're trying to look realistic.
Do they put people in the cars or it's an empty car?
No, it's just a car. It's just a car that drives itself.
They made this movie, Adrian. It's called Tatan.
And he says, ka-chow.
They made Tatan. Oh, man. You know what would be horrible? A live-action Monsters, Inc.
Oof.
Or what if DreamWorks tried to get in on this with a live-action Shrek?
DreamWorks, I mean, Anastasia would make way more sense, or Prince of Egypt even, although Prince of Egypt would end up becoming kind of like just like a Bible school thing. I don't know.
That would feel too much like
Deliver Us. Isn't that part of it too, though, that they remake the music? Because like the music's so iconic in Prince of Egypt. If they remade it, like what, the kid Leroy is going to sing Deliver Us? I don't know. There's nothing good here. I can't even pretend to mind something good here.
And all you do is talk about how much you love and remember VeggieTales.
VeggieTales.
You don't want to see a human-sized cucumber explaining the Bible to you.
Well, Larry's the dumb one. Bob's the one who explains the Bible.
Oh, the tomato.
Yeah, the tomato. Yeah, kill yourselves. That's my advice.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Okay, here's my idea. Jump cut into the future. Star Wars in modern day.
Isn't that every movie? That's just a movie set on planet Earth, normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we make those movies all the time.
Yeah, everything that happened in Star Wars was a long, long time ago.
Okay, and I'm thinking it's about... So there's like a Rosaria Dawson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's a journalist at like a big newspaper. And there's Will Smith, and he's like a dating coach for men who can't get laid.
And you're going to call this Hitch? What are you going to call this?
That's a good idea because it's about getting hitched.
Yeah, okay, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And maybe then James would probably be in this, right?
We could, yeah, maybe he could be like a schlubby loser who's trying to get with like his dream woman.
Right. And he seeks out the advice of Will Smith.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is coming together. This would be a great Star Wars movie.
And then they have a baby Yoda? What do they do?
No, baby Yoda's in the far past on
He's a whole other
planet.
He's been dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just like there's an Easter egg where on someone's mantelpiece you see a picture, a portrait of baby Yoda. R.I.P. Grogu.
I think this could go places.
And there's a jet ski scene or something like that, or like an allergy scene in a CVS?
These are all good ideas. I mean, maybe let's workshop them. Like maybe at the end of the jet ski scene, he shows her that her grandfather was a murderer, and that makes her cry and ruins the date.
But
I don't know. These are just ideas.
That's a good Star Wars movie to me. I like that idea. Enough with the lightsabers. Enough with the Wookiees. Enough with the incest. Let's just get to regular fucking.
Number one, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're already starting this over again.
Wait, are they?
Yeah, what is it called? It's the one.
The Fantastic Four?
No, the other movie that came out. I don't know its name.
Oh, Thunderbolts?
Yeah.
What is that about? What do they do?
I know so little about this movie, man. But I think it's supposed to be the restarting of a new universe.
I thought it was Fantastic Four, because now Doctor Doom's going to be the next villain in the next Avengers movie.
Maybe they're going to play into each other. Maybe Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts.
The overall highest grossing franchise by almost $6 billion. The MCU is an immortal giant that towers over all other franchises mentioned here. While the number shows a staggering discrepancy between this and the runner-up, it's important to mention that these numbers also include the gross earnings from the newest Tom Holland Spider-Man trilogy, as well as the Avengers Ensemble cast movie, so they literally just double-dipped, most of which take the top six places in box office earnings. Even though some of these franchises can include movies from other franchises, the logic still stands that Marvel is far and beyond the most filthy rich franchise to ever exist. These films are some of the highest grossing movies of all time. Paul, if you were an actor, would you immediately accept any Marvel bid that if they were trying to get you into a movie?
Yeah, that's a one for them, one for me sort of mindset. Of course, come on, that's a paycheck.
Okay. Yeah, that's a paycheck.
Maybe
that's a big
not,
paycheck.
I don't know. Like, I see why, like, Kumail and Paul Rudd did it, but maybe at this point, it's better not to do it for your career. I don't know. We also live in an era where nobody holds it against you if you do, like, shit like this for money.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind getting paid to get ripped for my role as security guard number two.
I don't think they pay that guy to get ripped. I think what? That's on you.
Well, I'm definitely not going to be Thanos. I don't know. Who am I supposed to play? What superhero do I resemble?
I don't know. Thanos is so CGI'd. Why couldn't you be the guy in the suit with the, like, balls attached to you?
Because I'd have to have the voice.
What is Thanos's voice like? Hi, I'm Thanos.
It's Josh Brolin, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the guy who's like, my fellow Americans, it's imperative that Sasha and Malia and Michelle, we understand that what's going on in this universe is not normal.
You think just because Obama...
Who?
You think just because he bombed a couple Yemeni weddings that he's as bad as Thanos? Wow, Adrian. This just goes to show you as leftists.
All right, do we have anything to say about the MCU and what they should do next? Honestly, dumb it down a little bit, please.
They were
too complicated
smart.
For me.
Yeah. It was a little too highbrow. Could you make it a little bit less of an art film?
These sci-fi concepts are a little bit crazy for me.
And I thought the whole, like, dramatic fight scene, funny joke... long talking monologue, you know, another smaller fight scene, another joke to cut the tension formula was perfect, but I think you could just pepper in more cutting the tension. Sometimes I was sitting a little too long, feeling like there was a little bit of risk. I feel like they could have cut, like, halfway through a fight scene, remind me that they're going to be okay.
And it would be really nice if you guys included more characters that are essentially gods and don't have to fear anything, but for some reason don't just do everything to fix the plot. It would be cool if you had more of those characters. That'd be nice, because sometimes it makes me confused. Like, why don't we have more people who could just end this in a second?
And sometimes a character would be dead for like 20 minutes, and I'd be really worried that they were going to be dead permanently. So make sure that as soon as they die, you let me know. No, don't worry. They'll be alive again. I don't want to have to sit with the fear that there's consequences.
That'd be really hard for me.
Yeah, that'd be tough. So,
and then if you guys don't make the popcorn bucket for the next movie, Thanos's beehole... And then Ant-Man has a little caricature in each popcorn bucket. I'm going to be real mad about that.
All right. I think we fixed all the problem with Marvel movies.
All right. Cool. Big facts, no cap?
Big fact, no cap.
All right.
Big fact. As soon as this episode ends, y'all should just turn it off. There's certainly not going to be anything coming up afterwards. The end is the end, baby.
And my no cap is, shout out to my sister, where when I was watching Eddington, I texted her and said, hey, when's a good time to pee during this movie? And she said, the beginning. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Not a specific scene later on where I could maybe take a second to go pee. I came in with a full bladder. I was coming in being like, God, I hope she says the first scene so that I can leave and go pee and then watch the rest
Adrian,
of the movie
in
peace.
You are a menace in movie theaters. You're sneaking in, not paying, taking people's seats, and then you're texting during the movies.
No, I'm texting before the movie, being like, hey, when during this movie should I go out to pee?
Oh, okay. You were texting before. Fair.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so maybe pipe down.
I thought you were halfway through
okay.
And you were okay, like, this movie's getting a little bit long. When should I go pee?
No. That was the thing, was that I texted her and she was like, do it during the beginning. And I was like, I didn't come in with a full bladder. What do you mean? I went to go pee before the movie. Anyways, I don't know. Shout out to her roommate who was also like, oh, you should do it during this scene. And I was like, that's 20 minutes in. It's still the beginning. This is terrible advice. Okay. All right. That's all I got for you guys. All right. End of the episode happens here.
Bye.
Bye. Na, 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 na. written by Adrian Perez, directed by Adrian Perez, executive producer Adrian Perez, in cast in order of appearance, Adrian Perez. Knock, knock, knock.
Come in.
Are you Paul?
Yeah.
From Big Facts No Cap?
Of course.
We've been watching you. We're thinking about having you join our podcasting universe. Have you heard of the Roganverse?
I'll do anything. Do you need me to say vaccines aren't real?
I'm glad you offered that up. Usually we talk about that later, but yeah, sure. I mean, we're trying to get some people. I know that you've been affiliated with the Legion of Skanks before, but
I'll throw them under a bus immediately for this opportunity.
Okay, you are incredibly amenable to our vision. I think this is going
to
be a good fit for
you.
Do I
have to move to Austin?
You have to. Adrian should probably stay put.
Do I have to go full racist immediately, or will you guys set up like an origin story for me to be like the left betrayed me?
No, you should dog whistle for a while and then you'll get into it.
Okay, okay.
You should have some plausible deniability.
What guests can you get on Big Facts No Cap?
Oh, you know, Ari Shaffir.
Why are you wearing an eye patch? Is that like you really have a problem with your eye, or?
Would you ask that to anybody else in any other circumstance?
It's just weird.
Do you go to people in wheelchair and ask them if they're in a wheelchair for a reason or if it's just for fun?
I thought there was prosthetics now. I just don't get why you're in an eye patch.
Some people just prefer the old-fashioned version. I don't know. That's crazy to ask that.
You look a lot like Samuel L. Jackson.
Thank you. So anyways, yeah. Do you have any strong opinions about ivermectin?
I love it.
You son of a bitch. All right. Let's bring you on board.
Na 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 na. Actual ending now.
All right. Bye.
Bye.